You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
H-Town, I'm back.
We have a liftoff.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, old dirty show and T-Mill, a.k.a. Psycho T-Mill, will have the latest. How we do last night on them?
0-3.
That it's Colton Gordon's fault, be honest.
With a push and a game suspended.
Yeah,
I thought you was going to squeak out that total. I thought you was going to stay under 11, man.
Damn it, Hader.
Yeah, that Josh Hader, man. Yeah, that's tough. That's tough.
What is Hader, about 22 for 22 now?
24 straight saves to start the 2025 season.
Didn't mean to jip you right there, King Hader.
No, that's all right. He'll pick up the pieces. It wasn't too bad. He has been smoking hot, so he'll get after it again tonight. So stay tuned there as our guy Tyler will try to win you some money. So stay tuned a little bit later on for T-Mill's Best Bets. That's coming up at the bottom of the hour. But, Clint, the Astros will play game two tonight against the Rockies. The lineups are out. We'll get you ready for that. But first, there is some news on Yordan Alvarez, and if you are just rolling in and you may not have heard the general manager, Dana Brown, who, as you know, keeps it real. This is him talking about Yordan Alvarez and giving his update after it was announced he would be shut down. Here is Dana Brown on Yordan.
Yordan Alvarez came into... You know, you guys saw him swinging a bat Saturday at our home ballpark, driving balls all over the place. The plan was to get him down to, spring training site in West Palm Beach on Sunday. So he flew down Sunday. Yesterday, did some baseball activities, and then today he showed up, and his hand was sore again. And so now at this point, we're going to pause with this setback. And, get him to see another specialist and take it from there. And so, look, it's, it's tough time going through this with Yordan, but I know that he's, still feeling pain in the soreness in his hand. And so we're not going to try to push it or force him through anything. We're just going to, allow him to heal and get a little bit more answers as to, what steps we take next.
All right, that's Dana Brown back to allowing him to heal. And the latest news here, Clint, is the Astros, they have transferred Yordan Alvarez to the 60-day IL to clear up a spot on the 40-man roster. Now, he has been on the IL since May 2nd. So all of that, he doesn't have to miss another 60 days. It all counts to where he initially went on the IL. They just moved him to the 60-day IL. But to what the texter said, there is a reason to be alarmed. Yordan is no longer on the roster. They wouldn't do that if he was okay. So right now, yes, he is. He is going to be out for some time, just like the first time they shut him down. We don't understand or know how long that could be, but clearly, Clint, you know, obviously we're probably looking at some time, some more time for Yordan.
Yeah, look, I'm less worried about Yordan in the hand. I think we got a long way to go before we get to really meaningful baseball, and the Astros are and I say meaningful, I shouldn't say that being who I am. I mean, it all means something, but just the playoff baseball, and as long as he's back in time to ramp up to be ready and be a factor there, the Astros are finding a way to win ball games without him right now. I'm less worried about that and more worried about just the organization looking like. I mean, it's an embarrassment. It's embarrassing how they've handled multiple injuries. It's embarrassing how they communicate. I mean, they'd be better off not communicating at all. It's embarrassing that it looks like the manager and the general manager are on two different pages a good chunk of the time. The general manager being so out of touch with reality when it comes to these injuries and how the players are responding to these injuries. That whole thing, Ron, is just it's embarrassing.
I'll be honest. 2 years in a row. This Kyle Tucker last year.
Yeah, it's 2 years in a row with your arguably your one of your top two players on the team. I mean, it's just it's time and time again. If you really think about it, with multiple players, if I remember correctly, the Bregman deal was fumbled last year. Like it just and the bigger part of it, you know, for me is the again the organization just looking. The way that they do, and just out of touch, not communicating with each other clearly, not having a plan. That's the more troublesome part of this thing here. And as I said, I can't think of a better way to put it than just being embarrassed.
I wonder what the talk is around baseball circles about this. Like I wonder because you've been around this. You know, players talk. And obviously the NFL is different than Major League Baseball, but players, I would imagine players talk about stuff like this, and this goes around. And I just
when it gets this bad, hell yeah, they do. You can't help but talk about it.
And how this how this potentially could negatively impact.
Yeah.
How people view the Astros.
Yeah, but then you listen to Dana Brown, and like I said earlier, I mean I just want to hear Dana Brown at this point. I mean, at least acknowledge how silly it looks and how silly it is. Like at this point, how about we have a press conference and Dana Brown, the general manager, just says, "Hey, man, this is one of the best players in baseball. We're committed to this guy long term. He's obviously got it. We have got to figure out what the hell is wrong with his hand, right? Yeah. Forget about trying to explain. Well, y'all saw him hit. Y'all saw him, just hammering it all over the park yesterday. Whatever. Like, forget all that, man. Just
Man. Didn't he do that? Like, saw him. Y'all saw him hitting it?
No, there ain't no doubt about it.
My man going to say, we're going to let him rest. We're going to let him rest and not rush it.
Guarantee us as fans that the organization is going to get this thing right and get his hand right. Hey, if that's for next year, it's going to hurt like hell, and I don't even want to think about that, but just get it right. Get it right and move on.
You think about it, Tyler and Clint from the handlings of Yordan now, Kyle Tucker last year. You brought up the Bregman weirdness. And then Lance McCullers, who they paid him $85 million, and he just didn't pitch for like 3 years. And that all right, finally, now we're going to get surgery after, two attempts back. Those are four.
Bury me in the H.
High money players and big time players that you need that just some, at the very least, weird. And I know I hear what you're saying, Sally, but that's what I'm talking about with you, Sally. They can't miss. All right, they miss Yordan. All right, man, maybe sometimes it's hard to miss. All right, well, now it's hard to miss and Kyle Tucker. Oh, okay, well, all of this stuff with Bregman. All right, well, then now they didn't know. Maybe it's hard to miss the bone spurs and the elbow for Lance. This is just, and those are just those four, right? Like, no telling, when J.P. France's shoulder thing was detected. It's just, it's a lot in question with them.
I kept it real as a true professional myself.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, they look to win another series, would make it 12 in a row that they have not lost if they win tonight, and they got their man going, at least one of their mans. Hunter Brown, who is 8-3, ERA 1.74, nasty all year. He gets the ball against some fellow who's got an ERA above 6. This looks like an ass-kicking waiting to happen. Here is the the lineup, Clint. Paredes is leading off as he's continued to. Myers behind him. Altuve in the three spot playing second base. And then Cam Smith, who has been sitting in that that cleanup role, with Walker behind him now, Diaz behind him, and then Hummel, and then O'Shea Whitcomb is the DH tonight with Dubon playing short. O'Shea.
Boy, Shea's got to have some real frequent flyer miles between between Sugarland and Houston and Sugarland and wherever they're at on the schedule next.
I'm going to tell you what, fellas, I didn't.
DH, huh?
The nightmare third continue for Shea.
not just DH. And listen, what he did the last time he played third base here, I will never forget.
The nightmare of third continues for Shea.
Us being at that damn down, that bar downtown, and he just.
The nightmare of third continues for Shea.
It started out as a joke.
That's O'Shea, 30.
Hey, it started out as a joke, right? Well, O'Shea's having a rough night. Golly, Shea.
And then Tyler was playing it as a joke, and then Tyler started getting pissed.
Was it Shea. Four errors?
Three or four, man, at third base.
Good God, Shea.
Hey, listen, I ain't going to lie to you, Shea. Shout out to you and hard work, because I thought that was going to be your last day as an Astro.
It's hard to come back
to come back up. Maybe you have a Space Cowboy uniform. Maybe you have an Astros uniform in a spring training capacity, but I didn't think he'd get himself back up in a regular season game. And Shea, you have overcome this. Shouldn't have any errors tonight. Not at the DH. Should not have any errors tonight.
That's one way to get the errors.
That's one way to get out of the way. So that's the lineup tonight. But Hunter Brown, even though you're playing the Rockies, Clint, Hunter Brown is must see. Baseball right now, the way he has pitched, the way he has thrown the ball, he's been one of the best pitchers in baseball, and you just expect a win tonight against the Rockies.
What's that strikeout total tonight, Tyler? Are we going to find out in
baseball? 6.5.
That's it?
Odds are a little steep, but yes, that's going to make an appearance on Best Bets. Ooh. 5.45, tune in.
I figured you'd be all over that.
I am all over it. I love the diesel.
The nightmare third continues for Shea.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, to the NBA, the New York Knicks. They expect to land a two-time. This is as nice as you could really put it together, Sean. They land a two-time NBA Coach of the Year in Mike Brown.
Oh, my goodness.
As the franchise's next head coach. And so what they did was fire Tom Thibodeau, who got them to the Eastern Conference Final for the first time in 25 years, and got this team to the playoffs, game 7 the year before, to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. Had some injuries that hurt them, and then they got there this year and lose in game 6 to the Pacers, and they fire him to do what? Of course, the plan the entire way was to hire Mike Brown. That's what it was. Mike Brown, who was fired midseason by the Sacramento Kings, that's who they brought. There is no way in God's green earth this was the plan. I think they thought they had a bead on Jason Kidd, but then forgot, Nico Harrison stopped being completely stupid and wasn't just going to completely give up everything, or somebody stopped it. There is no way this was the plan. I don't know if it works. Maybe they have enough good players that it does, but there is no way that the plan was to fire Tom Thibodeau and to hire Mike Brown.
Ron, this is the third one for me in the NBA in about a year, maybe 2 years. When did Milwaukee fire their guy?
Oh, yeah, to bring in Doc and then Denver.
Yeah, and then Denver midseason this year, I guess it was late season.
Mike Malone, who won him a championship.
And then this, it's just like, I don't know, man. I don't know. Especially the New York Knicks thing maybe takes the cake, because, like you said, that just the storied history and the expectations. You finally get a guy that really, to be honest with you, has some of that. Like, he's cut from the New York Knick cloth, right, of what most folks think the Knicks are, that old school, tough, rough mentality. And he has success at what I would say an above expectation level this year, and you fire him.
And then you hire somebody who is of similar.
Got a plan.
Yeah, they don't plan, and then you bring in somebody who is not only a retread, but a similar coach. Mike Brown's known as a defensive-minded coach that his offenses were probably at its best when they had either LeBron James or De'Aaron Fox leading the way, and not a lot to do with what he was doing. Tom Thibodeau's a defensive-minded coach that people – like, they just hired the same guy who may be worse. You know, maybe not as good a coach. Maybe they're at least in the same level. So, to me, it would have made sense to have gone and hired you know, a young, innovative guy.
Yeah.
Right? If they went with no plan of, and yes, they came knocking on Houston's door to try to meet with Ime Udoka. They went to Jason Kidd. They went to just about every coach who was in a pretty good position to try to bring them over. I don't know what the hell they thought they were doing, but it is wild. But the Knicks, they bring in Mike Brown. Someone on the text line said, I thought Mike Brown died. My bad, Mike. No, man, he just got fired. He just got canned. Mike didn't die.
5 o'clock fire.
And the latest thing, we said this in passing before we talked with Brandon Scott earlier. Breaking news, DeAndre Ayton has agreed to sign with the Los Angeles Lakers. He got his deal bought out by Portland, and he will make $34 million between Portland and L.A., but the L.A. Lakers are only going to pay him about $8.5 million in this deal. He's a seven-footer. He was formerly the number one overall pick, went to the Suns, has a lot of talent, a ton of talent, but plenty. Just he is one of those guys who just haven't been able to get it. Yeah. Haven't been able to get it. And on, you know, talent and skill-wise, they get a seven-footer. They get a guy who can rebound, who is skilled, who can shoot, do a lot of things. But he just hasn't been mature enough to handle himself in basketball. So that's going to be something they're going to have to deal with.
Well, I mean, he was, and I don't remember what he was all year long, but the when the Suns made that most recent run to a hell, it was the finals, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, he was a part of that team right there.
Chris Paul and Booker and all that.
Yeah, I mean, he was a part of that team right there. And so, I mean, he kept it together enough to be a part of a team that made a good run. And when you've got Luka and LeBron on your team, just hold it together good enough, and you got a shot. Trying to make you feel a little better about it, man.
It was probably the best spot they were at. If it works, it would be great. I understanding what he has been. There has a chance to be some real good clashes with JJ Redick.
I forgot about that.
JJ Redick. Who will go head to head with Kendrick Perkins on television? JJ Redick, who I thought got himself kicked off a First Take for going at it, Stephen A. Smith, and seems to have a short fuse. You remember he just told Jackson Hayes to go to hell at some point and got pissed off like that. You could see a clash if DeAndre Ayton starts to be doing DeAndre Ayton like things. So. The Lakers did add to their team. I don't know if that's a move that the Rockets look at and say, "Ooh, I don't know now," but they do get a big. All right, coming up, the Texans. They got C.J. Stroud. They've got Nico Collins. They just added Higgins, who looks like a big body receiver who can get downfield. They've got Noel, who can do a lot of different things. They've got some really interesting, intriguing weapons. But what should the identity of this football team offensively be? Should they be a passing-dominated team, or should they be a run-first team? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
From the text line, Ron, if I win that auction for the dinner, you ain't showing up with no lame diet. I want to see real Ron at work.
Damn.
Damn.
Pony up enough money, you might get it. He can be bought.
Is that my boy Ron?
Hey, you ain't lying, man. You want to see the real? You want to see the? No, man, I ain't.
I want to give that sausage a whirl.
I mean, I don't know if I've seen the heyday Ron in a minute, boy.
That one you told me stories about, like driving home from work and making a few stops.
It wasn't. I didn't make multiple stops.
I thought I was being dead serious. I thought that's what you told me.
I would get everything at one place.
Oh, I thought you said you'd go like somewhere to get something and then you'd whip into like the Burger King and snag something.
The only way that would even happen is if maybe I went and got a drink somewhere else because I wanted some sort of a slushy.
Baja.
But
Blast.
No, I would roll over to Quick Trip and they have an array of different slushy flavors over there. They got
all QT, huh?
White cherry, ripe cherry. They got Coke. They got it all over there. Cherry limeade. I'd mix it all.
Wet's my whistle just thinking about it.
That one time where I really felt bad about myself, and I don't know if you remember, this was a real fat stage, right? Just try to look myself in the mirror. I felt bad for all those people at that Sonic. When Sonic had they had them Oreos they were making. They had them fried, deep fried Oreos they had for a run there. And I just wanted to give them a try. And I was on my way to work and I said, well, hell, let me stop by. I rode through there and I just sat there and I said, you know what? There is no reason for me to get this. I do not need this. I do not need these deep fried Oreos. And I just burned out. And I had to drive past them. Because I was behind another car to drive through it real fast. I felt bad, but I felt better. I knew I didn't eat them Oreos. It ate at me all day too. Those people. I should have called up there and apologized to them. But no, man. We'll have a good time again. As the texter said, tomorrow big day. The Reggie and Ron Radiothon, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. 12 hours. Of our radiothon, and you can donate any amount will help as we're trying to help the Houston Food Bank as they're in need, man. As we've said before, their budget's been cut by $11 million, but they are still expected to service the 18 counties and over 1 million people that they service, and we want to just be able to help in some way. We want to do this every year. This is the first year, and as I said earlier, I know the power of Sports Radio 610 and the great people in Houston, and I know you all will help us help them out and step forward. So join us tomorrow, 6 a.m., 6 p.m. You can text to donate, text Sports Radio 610 to 71777. That's Sports Radio 610 to 71777 to make a donation. Do your thing. All right, Clint. If I were to tell you the way that this Texans offense is constructed, if I were to say they've got C.J. Stroud, they've got these weapons, and I said they should lean towards maybe really kind of being a pass-first team the way that Kansas City and Cincinnati are. If they should lean that way with Nico and some of the receivers they have, to where the way that they set the tone is passing the ball, right? We've talked about it. There are some teams who pass the ball to set up the run, and then there are some teams who run the ball to set up the pass. The Texans have kind of tried to do both over the last couple of years. I think the Chiefs and the Bengals are teams that throw the ball to set up their run game. If I told you that is where the Texans should go with their personnel, would you agree with it?
No.
No, you wouldn't?
No.
And they say no.
Unfortunately, no. I believe in C.J. Stroud 100%, Ron. I just don't believe that they got the supporting cast to pass the football to set up the run.
Yeah.
I don't believe that they have the supporting cast right now to spread defense.
You think they got the quarterback to do it?
Oh, yeah. I think the quarterback to do it. Absolutely. I think they can quarterback to do damn near anything they want to do other than have some kind of mobile quarterback run system. I think the supporting cast is not there. And I'll be completely honest with you. I think they could get away with being that team, but I think they've got to take advantage of what we know to be true after what we saw C.J. Stroud's first year. He is an elite processor of defenses. He is an elite distributor of the football. And I think as long as he focuses on distributing the football on time, taking care of himself, taking care of his offensive line, in this case, he's going to have to take care of his offensive coordinator until he grabs his footing at some point in time during the year. I think that's got to be the path for the Texans offensively. Play really good defense, be smart and efficient on offense, and you can win a bunch of football games. We'll figure out down the road exactly who they are and what Nick Caley wants to do. But I think if we had to put a style on this offense or an approach on this offense.
So are you saying they should be run heavy? Not run heavy, but run to set up the pass?
No. I think they should strive to be balanced. I think they should strive to be quarterback centric, but more from a cerebral standpoint of C.J. Stroud. We are putting everything on your shoulders in a Tom Brady fashion. Get us in the right play. Make the smart throw. Keep us ahead of our chains. Let the game dictate how aggressive you are or you aren't, right? Like to me, that is the way that this team ultimately finds its footing. And to be honest with you, I think that's the best version of C.J. Stroud. Do I think C.J. Stroud's going to go out there and throw for 5,000 yards a season like that? No. I think C.J. Stroud should strive to be the guy he was his rookie year. If that ends up being a guy that throws for the most yards per game, then so be it. But he should damn sure strive for the fewest interceptions, the fewest sacks, taking care of the football. And with this defense, I think you win a lot of football games. And like I said before, I think that's the best version of C.J. Stroud. Because what you do have with C.J. Stroud is you got a guy that when the game dictates, like his rookie year against Tampa Bay, when the game dictates that you got to go 70 yards in 30 seconds, he can do it.
Yep.
You got to get in the shootout, he can do it. But I just don't know that brand of football is going to win with this particular cast.
The thing that is interesting to me is they've brought in a guy like Nick Chubb, and they have clearly expressed that they feel they needed to get more physical up front on the offensive line, and they have brought, I would say, we'll see what happens, but they've brought more physical players
right
up front. So in a way, it looks like they want to be where he came from. They want to be San Francisco or Detroit, who both of those teams, you wouldn't say they don't pass the ball, right? You know, Detroit with Amaron St. Brown and Williams and Jameson Williams and Laporta. But when you look at that team, they're establishing the run. Like that's they pass off of their run game. The Niners the same way. You wouldn't say Brock Purdy doesn't throw the football, but they are a team that is set up by the run first to get physical. So they bring in Nick Chubb to go with Mixon. You could see them going that direction, but then they also bring in Nick Cayley and some of the things he has said, which I definitely hope this isn't the direction they go. And that is the old game plan. Hey, whatever the opponent does or doesn't do well, we look at what the opponent and we base it off of that and not necessarily the things that we definitely want to get accomplished game in and game out. So they look like they could set up to go multiple ways.
Well, the problem is we don't know. We don't have any idea what this offensive line is going to look like. That's the supporting cast I'm talking about. I mean, I would love to see this team get into 11 personnel with three wide receivers, one tight end, one running back on the field, and spread them out. Let CJ Cook. I would love to see that. I don't think you have the offensive line to do it, right? I guess the belief or the thought is based on the guys that they brought in is that they're going to put a heavy emphasis on running the ball, like you said. Are those guys going to be good enough to do that? Get that done. You know, can you do that with Dalton Schultz? Can you do that? You know, can you do that with really no fullback? Can you do that with like what exactly are the Texans going to look like offensively? I think it's the biggest question out there, definitely in Houston, but it's a big question in the NFL. What is this offense going to look like? Because CJ Stroud would allow you to do a lot of things. His skill set will tell you that. But what can you actually get away with doing?
Because they wanted to be pass first last year, but their guys up front didn't allow it.
Yep.
Even with the injuries. Yeah, it's.
I'd say we just be smart. That's what I would do.
I don't love the thought of, all right, here we go, each week is going to be different. This is what we're going to do.
Well, I don't think I don't think you do that. I think CJ Smart is a smart enough guy and a cerebral enough quarterback, like one of the best in the league, to where if you've got a 4-inch thick playbook, you can have that thing wide ass open every game. And you can do what you do. You can be more multiple because CJ Stroud allows you to do that. You don't completely change your game plan. No, you just have great answers across the board, right? I don't like the guy. I'm with you. I don't like the game plan offense. That wherever that term came from, I hate hearing it.
One person really make it work.
Yeah, I hate hearing it. Yeah.
Okay, calm down. All right, he hates hearing it, folks. Coming up as we continue here, T-Mill's best bets. He's had a pretty good week. He's going to rebound off of yesterday's I think he just got screwed, to be honest with you. Yesterday's rough outing. He'll win you a little cash today as he's been hot outside of yesterday. And we'll get you ready. College football will be here before you know it. And apparently the best quarterback in all of college football lives in Texas. And not just in all of college football, but the best we've seen in 20 years. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Hey, T-Mill.
Tyler, I love you too, man. You so H-Town.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ooh, I got to make myself go to sleep. That's going to be the hardest thing for me. Is to force myself to go to sleep. How many hours do you think I should shoot for?
Well, that depends.
You have to get up at 5 to get here. I mean, at the latest 5.
I got the alarm set around 4:45.
What do you like? Everybody's different, right? So, like, on a normal night of sleeping, what do you normally aim for? What do you need for you to feel, you know, right? The next day.
As we talked about it last week, I damn sure don't get enough. I'm probably a 5 to 5 to 6.5 hour guy.
To use Tyler's terms, everybody's different. On that front, you're not. You are a lesser version of yourself if you get 4.5 hours of sleep versus 8 hours of sleep.
Disagree.
100%.
It's probably
100%.
What did I get last
night? So you need to get some damn sleep. Get home, get you a gummy or something, and get you some sleep.
12:30 did last night.
Ron doesn't partake in that gummy life.
12:30 ain't gonna be it.
Well, I ain't gonna do that tonight. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to try, like, 9?
I mean, what are you going to do? How are you going to get there? I mean, I don't think you just laying down is going to make you sleep.
Follow your heart, man.
Yeah. You think
you know what?
I got to add something to it,
man. Just stay up all night.
Ain't gonna hurt you, Dirty.
Love Island. Love Island.
Love Island.
Love Island and don't sleep.
Oh, now, if I do if I do Love Island, I probably won't get to
you
sleep.
And Reg can get a good hour. That first 6 to 7, 6 to 7, you can get a good hour of Love Island if you stay up all night watching.
If I to get because he's locked in, right? Reggie's locked in.
I didn't know. We never even asked him if he was locked in.
He said, me and you, I need to watch. You're going to be my show partner or something like that. Like, he watches the hell out of it. He is a big fan. A big fan.
Yeah.
That's all right. Somebody said, shaking my head, Ron's ass going to be up to 1 a.m. No, I'm not. Okay?
You'd be fine.
I'm going to at least put the kids to bed, and then I'm going to try to take it on in.
That should be a goal every night.
That should be the goal. That really should. I have another show to do every night at 10 o'clock. So that kind of jumps.
Take it on in, bro.
But I should. But then, like, I should go in at 11. But I'm never there tonight. I got to make myself. I mean, 6 to 6 a.m. I brought the throat coat.
Not gonna go to steak night with me tonight, huh?
I think you should. That's where I think you should. I think you should do it.
I'm kidding, man. I know
you.
No, I
think you should. I think that's that. You start your all nighter with Tyler at Kirby Ice House for steak night. I think you should.
Hey, I'll run a marathon with you, bro.
For shots, right?
Oh, yes.
Why wouldn't
you? Tequila. Really get the throat, the voice going well. No.
Chilled with a lime.
It will be. It'll be fun though. I'll be good. I'm gonna get some sleep. I'm gonna be ready to go, man. I'm gonna go. I'm going to go get everything I need. I'm going to bang out several lunches, so I'll get up here and just start eating bad and get the drinks that lunches? I need. Several meals.
I mean, multiple lunches isn't good, multiple, is it?
Multiple meals. I mean, hell, I'm going to be here. I'm going to be here during breakfast, lunch, and
I was just
pushing dinner.
I was confused snack. At first. Like, don't abandon your diet here and just go multiple lunches and dinner.
Yeah, you're right. I might go. Yeah.
Going to kill it, bro.
I know. It'll be fun, man.
Oh, you know.
Yeah.
So humble.
But, I mean, hell.
You know I like it, Adam.
I mean, I'm good. I mean, I'm
hell
good.
Hell yeah.
I'm good at this thing, man.
I mean, have you figured out, well, what are we going to do to make sure the drive wins?
I mean, it's pretty much already locked up, but.
Well, I think we need to have some incentives. I mean, I'm thinking at least a bottle. You roll with this, a bottle. You know.
I'll make you feel real sexy.
Come on, Clint, sign something.
Yeah.
Yeah, former Dallas
that
Cowboy.
That ain't gonna get us nowhere.
Robert E. Lee Gander.
Something here, man. Well, yeah, we got to come up. At least a bottle. At least a bottle, man. You get a bottle, wink, wink, with your audition bid for this dinner. All right, do your thing.
Man, what are you getting a bottle of?
I don't know, man.
Blanton's.
We got to come to. Oh, okay. A little Blanton's. Let's go in on it. Yeah, Blanton's. Sounds good.
I wish my wife wasn't so high on that wine that we brought back from Northern Michigan.
I got mine right here, Jack.
What are you doing with them $6?
Let's go, baby. I got mine right here.
Dang, he got some cash.
I got mine right here now.
He got some cash over here.
I got mine.
Where's that cash come from?
I'd be thinking about what best bet you want to
have. Had that bank closure on me.
You had to grab some, huh?
Had to grab some. Oh, man. All right, no. But again, for real, please come out and join us tomorrow as we are trying to raise money for the Houston Food Bank. Money for the Houston Food Bank, $11 million. They have been cut.
I thought you meant we were trying to raise $11 million. Say, woo.
I mean, if y'all want to. $11 million has been cut in their funding, and we just want to help how we can, and we need your help to do it. You can text Sports Radio 610 to 71777 to donate. Any amount counts. And all hands are on deck as we'll be joined by so many people that will help us put this radiothon together. All right, Paul Feinbaum. Listen to what he says. It feels rather aggressive to me. I know Arch Manning has probably had the most NIL money, or at least right up there at the top, if not the most. And he has been talked about a lot with his last name. And a lot of Texas fans are excited about him. But this is high praise coming from one of the top voices in college football, especially in the SEC, Paul Feinbaum.
I think there's a reasonably good chance that Arch Manning will be sitting on the front row in New York at the Heisman ceremony. That's assuming that his team does what it's supposed to do and compete for not only the SEC, but for the national championship. And I really believe they will. I think Steve Sarkisian, who's one of the most amazing play callers I've ever seen, made a critical mistake late in the year. He was way too loyal to Quinn Ewers, who was banged up and was really ineffective. Had Arch Manning been instituted in the second half of that game, like Nick Saban did a couple of years ago with Tagovailoa, I think there's a reasonably good chance that Texas would have beaten Ohio State and won the national championship. They're very capable of doing it again this year. I believe also that Arch Manning is the best college football quarterback we have seen since Tim Tebow entered the scene in 2006.
Dude, whoever there in the background. How? Wow.
Oh, did he say wow? I thought he said how.
Yeah. Well, I think he said wow. Could have been a how. Wow. Listen, that comment was, that was interesting.
Wow.
I mean, good heavens. I mean, Cam had a hell of a year. Johnny Manziel, obviously, was fantastic. I mean, as crazy as Jameis Winston is, he had a run there.
Water has no soul.
Yes. Lamar Jackson, he may not have won a national championship, but good God almighty, he won a Heisman Trophy at Louisville. So there are Joe Burrow in that year. There are a lot of QBs where that feels aggressive for somebody who had a hard time beating out Quinn Ewers. But do you get the sense, though, some of the other stuff he had to say? Potential Heisman Trophy finalist.
Absolutely.
A guy that has the potential to have Texas right there at the end potentially winning a national championship. Do you get the sense of that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You're talking about a guy that I don't believe that he's – I think his athletic – quote-unquote athletic ability at this point, based off what I've seen, is probably overrated as it pertains to going to the NFL. I mean, I think it's a good tool at the college level. I think it will help him get to New York and to a Heisman Trophy at the college level. I don't think it translates to the league. But I do think that he's going to spin it around well enough. He's going to run around and be mobile enough. And he's got a supporting cast that'll be as good as anybody in the country. He's got a play caller that'll be as good as anybody in the country. And ultimately, I think they end up in the college football playoffs again with him, you know, pulling the trigger. So, yeah, I think all of the above, with the exception of what you mentioned, being the best quarterback since Tim Tebow, I like what, you know, I have a hard – I don't have you know, I can't deny what he said other than that one
Listen,
bit.
His family, everything, got to understand he is – I mean, it is hard to be in that family and be around those people and not pick up some of the major qualities that are just there for him. But I will say, Clint, I we'll see. One, he couldn't beat out Quinn Ewers over the last 2 years. And I understand however you say that, but – I mean, this is a guy who almost went undrafted. And then, Clint, anytime we saw him, not against Lamar, but when we saw him against really good teams like Georgia, even a little bit he played, you know, against Ohio State a little bit, but especially Georgia when Steve tried to make that switch, it didn't look comfortable. It didn't look comfortable, and it didn't. It certainly wasn't like when Tua made a switch at the halftime against Georgia.
Yeah,
like it didn't look like that. That's the only thing is, it didn't like it didn't come in there like we've seen. Tua made the switch. Right there, we all knew Jalen's job was lost. That time, I forgot who it was. It was Spencer Rattler who Caleb Williams came
that's
in
right, that's
and
right.
took it against yep. against a good team. Mm-hmm. We all knew it was over. I didn't see that from Arch.
No, look. Here's the thing is, who'd you mention? You mentioned Tebow. You mentioned Spencer Rattler. I guess it'd be Chris Leak, Spencer Rattler, and Jalen Hurts.
Yes.
They're just they're all so unique, right? I mean, like the Jalen Hurts thing, I think Saban knew he was putting a significantly better passer in the game, which he needed. And let's be honest. I mean, you look at Tua. I don't remember that game like the back of my hand. But Tua had to play good for a half, and he would prove Saban right. We're talking about middle of the season benching a guy during a national championship run. That's a different animal. The Spencer Rattler thing to me, I never thought Spencer was anywhere remotely close to what the hype was around him at Oklahoma. So it didn't surprise me at all that Caleb Williams took that job. I think we're talking about a guy that had very little experience, 1 year of college football. And to be honest with you, at that point in time, if his name wasn't Manning, the hype wouldn't have been what it was for him at that point in time. And you're asking him to upseat a quarterback that had made a run to the college football playoffs the year before and played really well and knew that it was an older player that knew the – not an older player because he actually went into college young, but a more experienced player that knew the offense like the back of his hand. And it was a very similar skill set. Like, the only one that I think is similar in terms of upperclassman experience – leader getting upset by, or getting sat down by a guy that has less experience is the Hurts Tua thing. Yeah. And Tua is just a significantly better passer of the football time.
Especially at the time. All right, Tyler, run it through it. Let's get these best bets in.
Yeah, I'm giving you five more baseball bets on a Wednesday. 0 for 3 last night, but that push and that game that got canceled giving us an 0 for 3 keeps us looking pretty good for the week over that 60% mark for success rate. I got five baseball bets real quick. If you miss any of them, head to the Twitter at T-Mill Real Deal. First, Reds, Cincinnati, plus one run at the Red Sox tonight. Angels at Braves, under 9.5 runs in that one. Astros and Rockies, of course, game two of this series tonight. Under 5.5 runs in the first five innings of this game. Probably my favorite bet of this hump day. And then two Astros player props, as we're known to do. First off, the Diesel, Hunter Brown. Lock this in. Over 6.5 strikeouts versus the Rockies tonight at minus 135. And then Doobie. I'm going Mauricio Dubon over 1.5 total bases tonight for the Astros as he is batting in that ninth spot for a spot as club. Those are your best bets?
Yeah, I like those last two, Hunter and Dubon. Tell me about especially it. Those are good ones.
Let me get on that Hunter with you.
Do that.
Let's ride.
Let me get on that Hunter with you. $100. $100, Hunter.
$135 to $100?
I'm fine with that, baby.
I know you got that
money. I know that in deep pockets will back me.
Texans All Access coming up behind us. Area 45. Behind them, text line coming in. Show, how are those floors coming along? Laughing my ass off. This has to be the absolute longest flooring project on Earth. Well,
no research, man.
I'm doing research. And by the way, about ready to put down our down payment and get it started. Hey. So get up out of my business.
Hey, them are big decisions you got to be made, man. You got to live with whatever floors you put down.
Telling you, man.
And he got bold. He got bold.
Yeah, I got bold. All right. Shout out to Brandon Scott. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. Come hang out with the 6 a.m., 6 p.m., the Reggie and Ron Radiothon kicks off tomorrow. We'll be here bright and early. I am Ron, the show, as always, Houston. We love you, baby. We'll discuss that. Josh, stop being so – I'm going to block Josh on the text line. He has been a little too nasty.
Don't go blocking nobody.
I'm going to go block.
You can never get too nasty for this show. Tyler's in that glass right there in our face every day.
I want people to stop – well, tell him to stop saying he wants me to sit. All right.
Whoa. Brake lights. Sheesh. Just, yeah, we got to get out of here.
Is that my boy Ron?